Welcome everyone to Smart Money, where it's important to save, be motivated, anticipate, be responsible, and be timely. I am your host, Joshua Ehlers. Welcome everyone, good evening. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. This is the second show of Smart Money, and I am very excited to get into our lesson on debt this evening. But before we get started, I have a very special guest joining me this evening. I call him Coach Redman. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
How was your Wednesday?
It's like any other Wednesday. It's the middle of the week, getting ready for the weekend.
It's almost over.
Yep.
Two more days to go, and then fall break. Do you get fall break doing grad classes? Or?
I would say no.
No?
I'm always working when you guys are having fun, but that's fine with me.
Are you joining us for Cedar Point this weekend?
Always excited for Cedar Point. Always. Oh, right. Even if we're working in the food, hey, gets the job done, gets the money for the program, but I'm excited.
You know it. You want to give a quick introduction by yourself? Tell us where you're from.
So people around here call me Coach Redman, but my full name, Hunter Redman. I'm from Michigan originally, White Cloud. I'm about 4.5 hours north of here, so it's quite the hike. But, went to college in Michigan, came down here for the great opportunity to work with great athletes and be part of this community.
Enjoying it so far?
Oh, I'm enjoying every second of it. It's been really long, well, not really long, but kind of like a quick year last year, and just excited for this year coming up.
And then you'll be all done and headed out to the real world, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm most sad about, honestly. I feel like I just got here, but then at the end of the spring, I'm going to be gone, and I'm like, wow, it was a great opportunity, but again, I wish I could stay longer just because I've just enjoyed the culture around here, and the campus is just so nice to be around.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I've only been here about, a semester and a half now. It's my second semester here, so
yeah,
I've been enjoying it a lot. So, alrighty, well, why don't we jump into some market news?
All right.
Let's see what we have on the docket here. Let's start with some stocks, see what our stocks did today. Dow Jones is up 54 points, ending at 26,828.39. NASDAQ up 25 points as well, and ending at 8,025.08. Some companies, Amazon is down 18 points, ending at 1,952. And Apple is up 2 points, ending at 232.07. Tesla is down 6 points, ending at 294.80. So let's see what big articles we found today while I was searching. Let's see here. GM and Honda are teaming up to build an autonomous vehicle. Honda is taking a stake in General Motors subsidiary Cruise Holdings. The two automakers will work together to build an autonomous vehicle. The investment of $2.8 billion over the next 12 years includes Honda paying GM $750 million immediately as it takes a 5.7% stake in Cruise Holdings. For Verizon had some big stuff happening earlier this week, Monday. Rolled out its first 5G towers in four cities, Houston, Indianapolis, Los Angeles, and Sacramento. Increasing download speeds to about 300 megabytes per second. It's the first commercial use of 5G networks anywhere in the world. Most people are, the Federal Communications Commission voted to impose new requirements on city governments that will force them to approve 5G cell sites more quickly. So that has helped speed the process of getting 5G towers out there. AT&T has said that it plans to also roll out 5G towers in the future, but not specific for home internet as Verizon did. Sprint and T-Mobile have also pledged to spend $40 billion on their own 5G wireless network, but it should the government approve their $26 billion merger. And I think that's huge. I have a friend that lives in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he was telling me earlier today how nice it was. He was bragging. Download speeds are crazy.
Really?
I think he had like a 70 megabyte download speed.
That high? Whoa.
Yeah.
I can barely get that with my Spectrum internet.
I forget what he downloaded. He said it took him like 4 seconds.
Yeah. See, because I heard stories about the 5G coming up, and so this is like recently of me hearing about it. I didn't know AT&T was going about to get on that plane. So
I think most of the carriers, you know, especially like I said, the commission is Federal Communications Commission is like really pushing for it because it's not only good for, you know, our connecting faster. It's also good for other things that are wireless, like autonomous vehicles, mm-hmm. those kind of things.
But, yeah.
Yeah, he was bragging me earlier today, and I was really disappointed. I really want to try it. So if anyone wants to take a trip to Indianapolis, let's go test this out. But I think it's just home internet, though. I don't know if it's actually, and I think there's new plans too that you have to pay for the 5G. I'm not really sure though.
Okay.
I think I have it here. Yeah, the services cost $70 a month or $50 a month when combined with a $30 Verizon cell phone plan. So it doesn't come cheap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's almost in that like a beta stage, really, because they're just bringing it into the market, basically. So, it kind of makes sense that it's going to be pretty high to begin with.
I'd almost just get it for a month and then get rid of it.
Yeah,
I just want to try it out.
Yep. All
right, what else we got? Amazon had some also big news this week. They raised their wage for their employees to $15 an hour. Amazon announced Tuesday that it will raise its minimum wage of $15 an hour. Which will intensify pressure on other companies to lift their pay levels as well. The Amazon announcement will likely embolden labor activists and unions that have been pressing large for fast food and retail chains to raise pay, provide more reliable work schedules, and allow for union representation. Amazon says they're also working to help raise the federal minimum wage from $7.25 an hour. But it hasn't clarified what they are pushing for, what price they're going to push for. So what's your thoughts on that, Coach?
Oh, man. Well, I only know a little bit about the minimum wage raises based on Michigan, at least, because I hear they're bringing like a four-year plan to bring all minimum wage there to about $12. Because right now it's at like $9.25, $9.50 or something like that. But, I mean, everyone thinks it's such a good thing, but, I mean, if the minimum wage is making at least 12, 15 bucks an hour, I mean, everything else would have to at least be more costly. I mean, it has to. Or else everyone's just going to be rich, you know? I don't even need to go to college if I'm making 15 bucks an hour at a minimum wage job.
But most of the arguments, like if someone lower is getting paid 15, someone that was getting paid more than what that base pay was, that they will also want to increase the same amount. And most labor and like how much labor goes into an actual product is kind of not an overall large part of the product. It's usually you know, variable costs of materials and that stuff. So maybe the higher labor costs will raise the price of materials, which will raise the price of products. But that's hard to say too, you know. But
I mean, you're never not going to know until it really happens and you see how it plays out, really. I mean, that's how I think of it.
Yeah, I don't know how much data is out there for $15 an hour. There's other stuff. There's a lot of variables that go into that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can see some jobs like better minimum wage and it's just being so low. I mean, with high labor, almost like that blue collar class. I mean, some of that stuff's really hard labor because I've worked a minimum wage job that's pretty tough, and I'm like, whew, I'm only making $7.25.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I worked some minimum wage jobs in the summers, and they weren't the best. They weren't fun.
Nah, I mean, a lot of the minimum wage jobs. I mean, nothing against them. I mean, someone has to work them, but at the same time, it's really tough trying to make a living off of minimum wage, which is, I think, why it's called minimum wage.
That might be the biggest push. Is just people trying to make a living.
Yeah.
Working a, you know, entry-level job, but trying to make a living, especially if they have a family.
Yeah, that's always a tough one.
Trying to close the gap between, you know, higher-income people and lower-income, but just making it so they can get, you know, make a living off of work, you know, so they're not having to go out, you know, get two jobs, having no time with family, especially if they have family and kids.
Yeah, that's even a tough one because I've heard of a lot of stories where people just aren't making enough and they're really losing out on a lot of special moments in the family. So, I mean, I've seen that around Bluffton too where, I mean, not necessarily like it's like a bad thing, but it's just they really take family over anything, which I think is a good idea to have. But, again, it's really hard just trying to support a family on a minimum wage job, especially if it's like a family of two, three, or maybe even four.
Definitely. All right, let's. What do you say we move into our next little segment we got here? I think we're gonna start a new segment this week.
Yeah,
this is new. It's called Say What.
Say What?
Yeah, like that. Say What?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like that. I like that. So, basically, the segment is Josh gets a notification from his Apple News. Josh loves Apple products, as Coach knows. I love Apple. I love my Apple products. So
yes, you do.
I got my Apple News, and I get notifications, often. So this is an article that popped up probably a couple weeks ago that I saw, and it was from CNBC that basically said millennials. This was the title: millennials ages 24 to 34 have $42,000 in debt, and most of it isn't from student loans.
Most of it's not from student loans?
It's not student loans.
Whew, I don't know how you're getting into that type of debt. I mean, I'm right in the bottom of that scale, and I think most of it, if not all of it, is student loans. I don't know how everyone else is getting up to that high, but please feel free to let me know on how that's happening.
All right, let's read further here.
Oh, okay.
So, Northwestern Mutual did a little study.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that the biggest source is credit cards.
Credit cards?
Credit cards.
Okay.
So they surveyed 2,000 U.S. adults and 600 millennials. According to Northwestern Mutual, 1/4 was credit card balances, while 16% was student loans. So they have more credit card debt than they have student loan debt.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That blew my mind right there. And so this director of planning for Northwestern Mutual was quoted saying, as you grow older, your expenses increase. The additional pressures that come into your pocketbook only grow, and your disposable income shrinks in a lot of cases, even if your salary is growing. I don't know. I see what she's saying, mm-hmm. but I kind of have a problem with it.
What's that?
Just, your expenses increase.
Yeah.
But I don't see it if you're, if you have a college degree, your income should also be increasing. So you should be making enough to pay off your expenses.
Yeah, it's usually what I've been told on how it happens. You normally your degree pays it off in some shape or form.
And really. You might have to, live on like less, live a little frugal, kind of make it work for a little while.
Yeah.
But I think you should be able to, pay off your student loans and keep your expenses down.
Yeah.
And be able to make a buy. I don't see why I need $42,000 in credit card debt.
No, I don't even know what I can think of buying $42,000 on a credit card. I can barely think of what I want to buy in the grocery store. Like,
so the article also said that debt is on the rise.
Yeah.
Even though most people have a strong desire to pay it off.
Yeah. I can see that.
I see it, but I don't think the desire is strong enough.
No, just because I feel like that credit card, if people just keep getting the routine of, let me just put on my credit card and let me pay it off later, they can just keep buying stuff, paying it off later and later, and just almost like that long-term effect where they're just constantly just staying in debt, right?
Definitely. I also, they leave it in their wallet and use it for emergencies only. And I put emergency only in like some big air quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything they use on isn't quite an emergency.
Yeah.
Or they want to treat themselves. They've worked, they worked hard. Let me treat myself.
Yeah. So,
we go out to a nice fancy dinner, right? Right, Coach? Go to that fancy dinner, and then we put that $50 steak on that credit card.
Yeah.
But, then something happens, and then we can't pay off that $50 steak, so now we're paying 23% interest on a $50 steak.
Oh, yeah.
That might be one of the bigger problems. Another big problem, I think, is all the subscription payments happening nowadays. You got all subscriptions going on.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as just put your credit card information into old Netflix and Hulu and HBO and Showtime.
And it's a small price, too.
Oh, my. It's only $5.
Yeah, $5, so it's hard to pass
out. Apple Music. If you're
How
a student.
How much is that?
Like, $503. Yeah, with tax.
Oh, and plus tax on that?
Yeah. I think it's $533. I misspoke. $533 with tax. Only $5. Basically $5 a month for Apple Music. $60 a year. Man, put that on the credit card. That's like nothing. You got even Spotify premium for a student.
Yeah.
You get Hulu with that too.
Mm-hmm.
$5. Why not just get them both? Oh, we got to get HBO because we got to have, we got to watch our, what is it, Game of Thrones as HBO?
I haven't watched it, but I'm assuming so, yeah.
But we got to watch it.
Yes.
So we have to get that. We got to get HBO subscription too. So that's $15 right there.
Yep.
And we need the new iPhone XS Max. Now, I'm an Apple guy.
Yeah.
But please don't be putting a $1,099 phone on monthly payments. $50 a month. I think it's 50. I knew the regular 10 last year was $50 a month. And it's not just one person doing it in the family. It's all four,
five. The whole family.
The whole family. $1,000 phones. You could have $6,000 in device payments a month. That's not even the plan. And that's all going on your credit card.
Oh, man.
Because we needed it. It was an emergency because we needed it. We couldn't just go buy iPhone 7, used 8, get by.
Yeah.
No, we had to go buy the...
You got to treat yourself.
We got to treat yourself. Because we did a good thing for something. We got to treat ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we got to stop treating ourselves because we're not getting anywhere. It's like the old saying goes, living like the Joneses. We got to stop trying to live like the Joneses because we're not getting anywhere. We think we're getting somewhere. I think we're all just broke and suffering. That's really strong, but
yeah,
we complain about we complain about having so many payments all the time and how we have no money.
Mm-hmm.
But we walk around with a full closet of clothes and a brand new phone and you name it,
and a wallet thick of credit cards.
Oh, wallet thick of plastic.
Yeah,
can melt all the plastic and make some Legos.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's so true. Because I, like, even my wallet right now, like, yeah, let me look at it. I mean, you can see. You see how much paper I have?
It's
none.
It's a lot of plastic.
It's just all plastic.
But, we got, the debit cards and,
mm-hmm.
and the, store cards, all those.
Oh, yep.
So, that's good plastic. I'm going to categorize that as good plastic. That's good plastic.
Yeah.
Credit cards, that's bad plastic.
Yeah.
That's bad plastic. And I think the way to combat this is to stop buying things to impress people that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We're buying things we don't need to impress people we don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's driven. It's with marketing. Marketing is so good. If you look at companies with good marketing, Apple has genius marketing. They might be the best company that known for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know their products, you walk by like, ooh, Apple.
Yeah,
got the Apple with the bite out of it.
Yeah, because even you showed me some of those videos, and I'm like, wow, even that new watch that you showed me, that new Apple Watch. That kind of sold me on that presentation and that marketing plan.
And if you don't stick with stick up on the products, and if you aren't into tech, and you don't do a lot of research, Apple pulls the wool right over your eyes. With one cool feature, they'll pull the wool right over your eyes, and you'll be sold.
Yeah.
Until you dig really deep, and look at the hardware, look at the software, and compare it to other products out there. If you're buying it for the logo on the back to impress someone, you bought it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I like the software. I'm willing to put up the price for the software. Now, if you're buying it for the logo, we need to take a step back.
Yeah.
We got to rethink that. But yeah, $42,000 in credit card debt.
I wish that was my salary. I would love that.
25 to 34-year-olds.
Yeah, and even I had this problem in college, when they give you that financial aid package, and you're like, look at it, I'm like, oh, I can take this much out of the loan, and I can just put that in my bank account, because even my freshman year, I had, scholarship money that went over, and I had $6,000, I'm like, oh, man, I feel like a rich kid right now. 18 with $6,000 in my bank account. I felt like a rich dude, but and then towards the end of the year, I was broke again. So then I had to go work.
Yeah, that happened. That happened to me this semester. I read my balance wrong. And I read my balance wrong. And I thought I owed more money. Because every time you get something in your mailbox, you know, you think you owe. You got a bill to pay. Yeah. You got to owe something. So, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm trying to get through my last couple semesters. I'm not perfect. I got a little debt, but well, so I, you know, did a little disbursement on my loan to, you know, pay off my bill because I thought I had a balance.
Yeah.
I did that. Next day, I get a call from the financial aid office. Josh, I think you read your balance wrong. We owe you money. I went, oh. And then she asked me this question. Would you like us to leave it here or would you like to send it back? And then I thought about that for maybe 1 second. And I was like, please send that back.
Wow.
Because you can't pay the interest on that.
Yeah.
It's outstanding. You're paying interest on it. If it's just sitting there, you can't be having that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be having that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Hopefully, you know, hopefully this changes. We're not going to have too many wealthy people if we have $42,000.
Yeah.
Think what you could buy with $42,000. You could walk out and buy a pretty night. You could buy two used cars for $42,000.
Or even a better investment, even like a $30,000 house to start off. I mean, houses are better investments.
A down payment on a house?
Yeah. Yeah.
Put some money on a down payment?
Mm-hmm.
There's your 20% on a pretty nice house.
Yeah.
Or, even better yet, what if you didn't spend it and you put it in your retirement? Think about the interest on that.
That'd be good.
Got the growth going on that. All right. Let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to jump into the debt lesson for the week. Welcome back to Smart Money. I am your host, Josh Wethers, and I'm joined by my special guest tonight, Coach Redmond.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we jump into our lesson for the evening on debt, kicking debt out of your life. I'm going to start with our verse of the day from Proverbs 6. Verses 1 through 5. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. I'm going to read that last part again. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. I love that verse, and I'm going to jump in later. I'm going to pick a little verse out of it, a little portion out of it, and I'm going to use it to tell you how you're gonna kick debt out of your life. But I'm going to start with a little recap of last week. A little quote I stole from my friend Dave Ramsey. Children do what feels good. Adults devise a plan and follow it. And I think that is important for every lesson when it comes to money. You gotta have a plan. If you don't have a plan, I don't think you're gonna get anywhere. And you don't need to be a business major. Personal finance is 20% knowledge and 80% behavior. And you can do anything you want to with your money. You can basically become a millionaire if that's your goal. And I think it should be everyone's goal to become a millionaire. Because it's possible, as long as you have a plan. Oh, man. So, what is debt? So, credit cards, obviously, right, Coach? Credit cards, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mortgages, that's debt.
Mm-hmm.
That has an exception, though. A little bit of an exception.
Yeah.
An exception with rules. We'll get into those later, though, down the road when we do a mortgage lesson. But mortgages, good debt, kind of. Car loans, debt.
Mm-hmm.
Never buy a new car. Drive it off the lot. You just lost about $5,000. It used to be about $5,000. That was, like, common. Lose $5,000 of the value of that car once you drive it off the lot.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I think that depreciates any faster anymore is cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Cell phones might be right there with depreciation.
Especially with how often you replace them, too.
Oh, yeah. Every year.
Every year?
No, it might be every 6 months about now.
Yeah.
But the one debt that people don't think is debt, but it is debt, is student loans. I was listening to Dave Ramsey's daughter, Rachel Cruz, she works with her father and has her own little show. And she was talking about how she was at an event and a college student came up and said, "I'm debt free." And she looked at him and she's like, "You are a unicorn." Because you are a college student with no debt. And she looked at him and said, "How are you getting through school without any loans?" And he looked at her with the most puzzled grin and he went, "What? I have student loans." No, student loans, they're still debt.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to, defer them after you graduate, but you still, they're still debt. You still got to get them out of your life. You can't hold on to them forever.
Yep.
You really got to get after that and pay it off. So those are, and it's debt is, basically owing anything to anyone for anything. Whether it's a friend or family member that you borrow money from, unless they gave it to you as a gift, that's still, that's still debt. You still, you should pay that back. It's an ethical thing. Pay that back to your friends,
usually,
your family.
Yeah.
They loan you some money, you got to pay that back. So, credit scores. I think you were talking to me the other morning. You asked me about credit scores, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
And you said, we need, you got to build that credit score, right?
Yeah, that's what I've been told, too. Yeah.
Well, my Dave likes to call it the I love debt score. Because there's only one way to get one. Let's have debt.
Yeah.
So you have to go into debt to get one. Which.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think, as far as I know, I'm in debt right now, so.
Yeah.
I should have one.
You should have one. Yeah. You build it up. Keep if you have one, keep it good. Keep it maintained. Pay off some stuff. Whatever you have at the moment,
Okay. And how do you improve that score? Because that's like what I'm struggling with right now is how to improve it.
Well, here, let me tell you how it's calculated.
Okay.
35% of your score is based on debt history. 30% is based on your debt level. 15% is based on the length of time you've been in debt. 10% is based on new debt. 10% based on type of debt. I think the funny thing is no factor is based on income, debt-to-income ratio, your savings accounts, your net worth. The only factor is debt. So the only way to improve that score is to get in debt. Stay in debt and be perfect paying your accounts, but don't add too much or pay too much. Stay in as long as you can.
So in order to have a good credit score, you need to stay in debt.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Which, so, debt is a stealer of your number one wealth building tool, which is your income. You have bills every single month.
Mm-hmm.
You pay that credit card every single month, and you can, keep it there, and you're like, "I'm gonna pay it off every single month." Something always happens. An emergency always comes up.
Yep.
And when that bill comes due, you don't have the money for it, and then you go and borrow more money, and you pile it on even further to dig yourself back out. Personally, I don't think that's a great plan.
No, it doesn't sound like a good plan at all. Using what? Using debt to get out of debt? Essentially, that's what you're just kind of saying here.
You borrow from Peter to pay Paul.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, it's like almost some people take out a home equity line of credit on their home,
mm-hmm.
on the equity they build up in their home. So they lose the equity that they have built up in their home. So they borrow the money on their home. Pay off their credit cards.
Yeah.
So they took it from one place to put it to another place. Not a great plan.
No.
Trying to maintain a credit score, build it up. And the one reason people want credit scores, high school seniors graduating from college, your parents want to get them a credit score, so they get them a credit card. Because, you think you need one to buy things in the future. You need things to do things in the future, like get a loan to buy a car. I personally don't think you need a loan to buy a car.
No.
You need one to rent things. Rent an apartment, maybe buy a house. Credit scores only do one thing when you are trying to buy something. They make someone else's job easier. They use the credit score to see how well you are at paying off. Paying towards, a loan. you know, how mm-hmm. good are you at paying something.
Yeah.
I think there's other ways to go about it. You can certainly, for a mortgage, do some manual underwriting. So you, and not every company does it. So you know, you have to go and find a company that will do a manual underwrite. But there is one, there is a few out there that I know of. Car loans. Why do we want to be stuck in car loans every 6 years?
I know, like I recently just had to get a new car, and I already have a decent plan to get it paid off. I've already paid like overpayments, like I think it's like $150 a month because I chose like the longest plan. But I've been like, it's like $150, but there's been a few where I paid like $300. Yeah. I'm like trying to tack a little bit of it out as I can. So
and that's a great plan. Yeah. Okay. Get that thing paid off. Get that bill out of your life. But you know, some you know, people just 6 years goes by and it's time to get a new one. So they start the process over again. Personally, I don't think you don't get anywhere when you're doing that. You're constantly giving away all of your income to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Dave Ramsey says there's a better way to do it, and that is you buy a used car. A car gets you from point A to point B. That's its number one job. You get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, a loan on a car and you're trying to get out of debt, you can do one of two things. Sell it.
Yeah.
And go buy and save up cash to go buy a nice used car that gets you from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
It could be covered in Bondo. It could be covered in duct tape. If it has an engine that stays in it and it gets you from point A to point B, and it gets you to your job to make money, that's its only responsibility.
Yeah.
That's the only job it has.
And that's exactly what my first car was, too. I saved up money in high school, $2,000, bought a car. It lasted me 4 years, but, I mean, it had to go because, I mean, a little bit of a fender bender. So that's why I have a new car now and have car payments. But yeah, like I completely agree that your car shouldn't be for show, or like what you said earlier about just trying to impress someone with, oh, my brand new 2018 Mustang. Like, want to hear its engines? Want to hear the cylinders go? like you don't need to impress anyone. And I feel like a lot of like, not stereotyping, but I am, that a lot of guys sometimes I just see them in their trucks or even their sports cars and they just rev them up. And I, like me and my wife always say, it's like, oh, how'd that 1 gallon of gas sound, huh? Like, it's, yeah. But anyway, it's just trying to impress someone else that you should just get the car from point A to point B.
That same thought could be used with, you know, a phone. You're sitting in your, you know, let's say your Mercedes. And sometimes when you see a Mercedes, you might as well just put, you might just want to put, a red, you know, debt sign on and just look at it because, you know, they have a payment on it. But they're sitting at the red light talking on their brand new iPhone XS Max. And they're sitting at red light talking to their mom on the phone. And while their phone is depreciating about as fast as their car is while they're sitting at a red light.
Yeah.
So, well, why don't we jump into some debt myths?
Okay.
I think that'd be good because, you know, there's, like you said, you know, you brought up some points about credit scores and all that. I think there's a lot of myths out there that people that you know, credit card companies or other companies have marketed to get people to fall into these myths. And not even us. It's you know, our parents. And it's just kind of evolved. And now we're kind of stuck in these myths.
Yeah, vicious cycle.
Oh, yeah. Myth one. Debt is a tool and should be used to create prosperity. Truth. Debt adds considerable risk, most often doesn't bring prosperity, and it isn't used by wealthy people nearly as much as we are led to believe.
Yeah, even you reading that myth, a debt is used as a tool to create prosperity, like, maybe not for the average person, maybe for like a business when you need that cash to start up,
yeah,
that might be an opportunity for prosperity, but just for like a regular Joe like me, I mean, I don't need to get debt to create prosperity.
And one of Dave Ramsey's personalities, Chris Hogan. He has a show called Everyday Millionaires, or now it's called The Chris Hogan Show, but it was, you know, formerly known as The Everyday Millionaire, and he wrote a book called Everyday Millionaires. Most millionaires are people that we don't think are millionaires, and they don't have debt. They go to the, you know, local, you know, Walmart or whatever, buy a pair of jeans, the cheapest jeans they can find.
$10.
And yeah, exactly, $10.
Yeah.
And they have no debt. And they don't drive a Mercedes, an Audi. They drive a Ford, and it's paid off.
Yeah, Chevy and Impala.
Chevy Impala, yeah, Chevy Impala. They drive. It's you know, not some fancy car either. It's paid off. They didn't buy it brand new. They bought it used. Mm-hmm. So yeah, debt just steals. Like I said, your number one wealth building tool, which is your income. Once you get debt out of your life, the things you can do with that income are crazy. Dave likes to say, you have to live like no one else so later you can live like no one else. If you add to that second phrase, you can live and give like no one else. Having income to give away changes who you are a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If you have income to give to causes that, you know, you see fit, I think it brings everything full circle.
Yeah.
And you just feel better. It's like,
yeah,
like 1,000 pounds was lifted off of you, and you can, no strings attached. You just do whatever you see fit with your income. It is your income, but you're managing it for God. But you do what God says is right. You know, you go and give it to causes that you see fit.
Yeah, for sure. Even like me finding money on the street, like, because I actually did find like $40 one time, and I'm like, oh man, this is like my lucky day. But at the same time, I'm like, I should, and I really did do this. I went to, like a restaurant and stuff, and I paid for someone's meal kind of thing. So it's just like, yeah, it's good for me, but I think someone else can also benefit from this too. So I like that part. Yeah.
All right, let's do one more myth, and then we're gonna jump to a little break here, but we'll do one more here. If no one used debt, our income would collapse. Truth. Nope, it would prosper. I love that myth. I love that myth and truth combo there. Everyone thinks we need debt to, you know, get places in life, but no one, imagine if no one had debt.
Wow. Like, I can't even think of it. I can't even think about it.
I think more marriages would prosper as well.
Because
relationships would prosper.
There's a lot of problems with finances and relationships. Like that I've seen and heard about.
Money would stop dividing people.
Mm-hmm.
Money would... I would love to see the day that everyone is debt free, has no debt. They are fully funding retirement accounts. They're getting themselves ready. They are taking care of their money themselves. They're not worried about anyone else to take care of them. They are just worried about themselves, their family, and they have loads of income just laying around. They had a mutual fund with thousands of dollars in it, and then when they retire, they're just gonna live off of the interest that it makes, because they have so much in it that they can just live off of the interest, because they're not paying debt. Their house is paid for. They're not going to retirement with that debt on, or with a mortgage still. It's just a beautiful scene to paint.
Yeah, utopia.
You got that right. All right, we're gonna take a quick break here and we'll be right back.
After a full day at school, no child wants to do homework, but homework is an important part of learning. I'm Pat Frostbrooks, president of the Ohio Education Association. Find a place in your home where your child is comfortable doing their homework. Pick a time for homework to be done and stick to it. Once you have set a time and a place for doing homework and consequences for when it isn't, maybe you won't have to ask that question that makes us all crazy. Have you done your homework today?
A message from the Ohio Education Association.
All your favorite tunes.
In your dorm room.
In your car.
In your head. Whoa. Now streaming everywhere you are.
Anywhere I want.
download the 96.1 The Wit app, free for iOS or Android.
Welcome back to Smart Money. I am your host, Josh Whalers, joined by my special guest tonight, Coach Redman.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about how to get out of debt.
I think I'd love to hear that.
Because I don't like debt. I think we all need to get allergic to debt. We need to, you know, get an allergy to debt. So let's talk about getting out of it, because I think that is very important. So in our verse of the day, it was, deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. So, gazelles. I need all the listeners out there to picture being chased, being a gazelle, being chased by a cheetah. And, you know, gazelles, when they see a cheetah, they have a cheetah signal, and their ears perk up.
Yeah, high alert.
Cheetahs are very fast.
The fastest.
0 to 45 miles an hour in 4 leaps. Gazelles are the underdogs.
Yes, they are.
Very, very much so, the underdog. And when that cheetah starts coming after them, they gotta run and run, and you just gotta run. And that is how you get out of debt. You have to run and keep running and don't look back. Got all those collectors coming after you? You just keep running and just keep paying off stuff and just keep running, because when you stop and look back, they get you. And you're not getting out. You just gotta look forward and keep going. Keep paying stuff off. You got gazelle intensity. Imagine that cheetah is chasing you, and you have to have gazelle intensity. I love that phrase. Gazelle intensity. Think life should just have gazelle intensity. Go every day with gazelle intensity. Everything you do, gazelle intensity. Paying off debt, gazelle intensity.
I like the sound of it.
Like the sound?
I think gazelle intensity.
Wristbands right there. Wristbands.
Right
there. Yeah. Gazelle intensity wristbands.
Market it.
I got that one. This is all Dave Ramsey stuff. Because I just love him. I like his curriculum. So I took, that's Dave. I'm waiting for him to do that. I feel like he's already trademarked that, you know. So
yeah.
I don't want to get in trouble there. But shout out to Dave.
Yeah.
But he says, get intentional. That is the other way to get out of debt. You got to get intentional.
Okay.
You have to want to get out of debt. If you're just, you know, lazadaisical, not going to get out of debt. You got to be intentional. Live on beans and rice and beans, or like me, celery and peanut butter, or celery and almond butter, cheap almond butter, not expensive almond butter, cheap almond butter, but rice and beans and rice. Start cutting. Like last week I talked about budgeting. You gotta start cutting things out of your budget, or find ways to make, you know, give yourself money to put towards that debt. Be intentional about it too. Once you do it, stick with it. Sticking with it is also very important. You can't do it 1 month and not doing it the next month. Constant.
Mm-hmm. Consistent.
You have to be consistent with it. Start selling stuff. Anything and everything. Go through that closet. I know you haven't worn a shirt in 12 months. Get rid of it. Take it to a place and sell it. Get rid of it. Have a garage sale. If you're married and have kids, you got to sell so much stuff that the kids think they're next. That's what Dave says. I just think it's funny, so I had to use it.
Yeah.
Wow. Start selling stuff. Be a minimalist. Get rid of everything that, you know, you can live without for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Getting out of debt is temporary. It's not forever. It's temporary. You got to live, you know, on less than you make, so you can get out of debt. You know, start cutting stuff out of your, you know, cut stuff out of your budget, and get rid of all those subscriptions. We don't need all those subscriptions.
No.
All those going out to eats. I'm sorry, not doing that either.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get weird. Get weird. That's what Dave says. Being in debt is normal, and normal is broke. Normal isn't working anymore. So we need to, gotta be weird. We gotta be weird people.
I kind of stand by that. I'm already a weird person, but.
I am too. I'm already a little weird.
All right, then we're already one step closer to it then, I feel
exactly.
Like.
Exactly. We're already weird people. So we can jump on this train. We're going to be weird people. And I want every listener out there, take this up. We're all going to be a band of weird people. But weird in a good way.
Yeah.
Weird in a good way. I'm not. Yeah, weird in a good way. But we're going to be weird people. Because we're going to start, you know, paying off debt. We're not going to have any debt. We're going to go all the way. We're going to pay off the house someday.
The weird people with no debt.
Weird people with no debt.
Yeah.
We're going to get weird.
Yeah.
Get weird. And like I said, if you live like no one else, later you can live like no one else. That's so important.
Yep.
And that is the phrase to drive. That is your motivational phrase that will drive you. But so gazelle intensity is one thing. The other thing that helps is the debt snowball.
I did hear this one before.
You've heard this one before. I like that.
From Dave,
debt snowball. Yep. So what is the debt snowball? It's basically listing all of your debt from smallest to largest. And you attack that smallest one with fury. And you go after it. And it is your mission to pay it off as fast as possible. And you attack it like crazy.
Yeah.
And you just get after it. And then once you've attacked that small one, you go on to the next one, and you go get it.
Attack the other one.
You attack it.
On to the next one.
And you keep going, and as you start paying off more payments, that snowball just keeps getting bigger and bigger until you get to the biggest one, and now you have some motivation and some anger, and you go after it, because that's the last one. It's like a track. You do the 200. Let's use a mile race. You got one lap.
Easy.
Two laps, three laps.
A little tougher.
You got it. But that third lap, you really got to dig a little bit. And then when that last 400 meters comes, that is where you're at the bottom of your debt snowball. And you just got to
dig. And that finish line.
Yeah. And it's 400 meters, and you just got to go. And you got to get after it. And that's what people got to do to get out of debt. You got to attack things. You got to dig deep. And it's not going to be fun.
It's going to be hard.
I'm going to be blatantly honest. It's not fun.
No.
Like Dave always says, you can wander into debt, but you cannot wander out of debt. I can raise my hand. I can walk out. I can go to a mall probably, put my hand in the air and ask for a credit card. And I can have every store, a representative for every store in the area in that mall, come out and open up a brochure for a credit card. It is so easy. And you just wander right into it. You can wander right into the woods. It's like a woods full of credit cards. You just wander right into it. But guess what? You can't wander out of it because you're trapped once you wander into it. You're trapped. The only way to get out of it is you got to run out of it. It's like wandering into the corn when the corn's up.
You don't know a way out.
You don't know a way out. But if you run in the same direction for long enough, you're bound to reach the end of it at some point. And you just got to keep running to get the end of it. And that is the only way to get out of debt, folks. What's your thoughts on that, Coach?
I mean, I completely agree with it, because I even had a small loan payment of $1,000, but I dug hard that one summer, and it was still gaining interest and whatnot, but I saved up at least half of my paycheck, and I ended up paying it off in like maybe 5 months after I took it out and stuff, like, because after I got done with that semester, I already had enough money saved up, and I paid it off.
Good for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I paid it in one lump sum. It wasn't little mini payments. I'm like, hey, here's the whole grand. Here's the interest. I'm done.
Adios.
Thank you. Yep.
See you later.
Bye.
Good day.
Good day, sir.
Yeah, good day, sir. I'm leaving. I'm done with this. I'm out.
And I ain't coming back.
He's not going back. So, so gazelle intensity, debt snowball.
Yep.
I have to. So with the debt snowball, though, I got a little disclosure quick. When most people, some, you know, economists don't like the debt snowball, just because small to largest payments, most like to go by interest rates.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes that's not always the best. Like I said, it's 80% behavior, and when your smallest interest rate is your largest payment, doesn't give you a lot of motivation to go get the next one.
Yeah, right.
So it's a, you know, how do I put this? You gotta sacrifice a little bit now in interest, but later you're gonna be making so much. You're not even gonna look back. You're not even gonna think twice about it.
Yeah.
And just like I said, attack. Go get them. Attack. Get angry. Get allergic to debt. Don't go back into it. Once you get out of it, stay out of it. Cut up those credit cards. Chop, chop.
Snip, snip.
You got it. Cut them up. We don't need them. Plastic surgery time.
Time plastic to cut. Surgery. All right.
It's time to cut them up. give them a little makeover. Cut them up into little... Hey, Christmas is around the corner. Halloween's closer. Cut them into little pumpkins. Turn backwards. Got the nice magnetic strap. I'm sure if you put some light on it, it'll reflect. It'll look pretty cool out there. Cut some pumpkins into them, but cut them up. Get allergic. Attack every debt. Live like no one else, so later you can live like no one else, folks.
Quote of the day.
Quote of the day right there. Gazelle intensity. Don't forget that. Every day, live gazelle intense. If you're trying to get out of debt, gazelle intensity. Saving for retirement, gazelle intensity. All right. Well, I think... Any closing remarks for me, Coach?
Nope. Just thanks for having me. I definitely learned quite a bit and look forward to learning even more.
I'm happy to have you. Anytime you want to come back.
Thank you.
Let me know. I'll have you back. All right. Maybe for another lesson. Come back in. Talk about it. All right, folks. This is Joshua Ehlers. Thank you for joining me tonight on Smart Money, where it is important to... I messed it up already. I'm sorry. It's important to save, be motivated, anticipate, be responsible, and be timely. Thank you for joining me tonight, folks. Good night.